Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. Appreciate you listening to Bible Crossfire every week at this same time. Of course, the main purpose of this program is to take your calls or questions or comments about the Bible. And I think we have a caller right now. We'll take that. Jim from Iowa, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah. First, I just want to say you're probably the only one on the radio that's going to answer this. Now, the Bible talks about false teachers. So we got Billy Graham, Pat Robertson, Oral Roberts, Swaggart, the Pope guy, Jerry Falwell. Does the Bible prove that these are false teachers?
Well, let me see if I can read you a quote from Billy Graham, and then we'll see. Come to a conclusion. Here's what Billy Graham said. He in an interview with Robert Schuller on May the 31st, 1997, he said this, and I quote Billy Graham, "Whether they come from the Muslim world or the Buddhist world or the Christian world or the non-believing world, they are members of the body of Christ because they've been called by God. They may not even know the name of Jesus, but they know in their hearts they need something that they don't have, and they turn to the only light they have, and I think they're saved, they're going to be with us in heaven." And then he said in McCall's magazine, January 1978, "I used to believe that pagans in far-off countries were lost, were going to hell if they did not have the gospel of Jesus Christ preached to them. I no longer believe that. I believe that there are other ways of recognizing the existence of God through nature, for instance, and plenty of other opportunities, therefore, of saying yes to God." Now, contrast that, Jim, those two quotes with Billy Graham saying that people like Jews and Muslims don't have to believe in Jesus in order to be saved. Contrast that with a passage like John 14, verse 6. "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Or how about Jesus in John 8, 24? "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins." If there's one thing the Bible teaches, that is that you got to believe in Jesus to be saved. And Billy Graham denied that and said, no, if you're a conscientious, faithful Jew or faithful Muslim, you don't have to believe in Jesus to be saved. I gave you the quotes. I gave you how they contradicted the Bible. You tell me if he was a false teacher, Jim.
Well, that's obvious he was.
He was a false teacher. Yet, he's the most, of our generation, he's probably the most famous preacher in America of our generation. A lot of people had a lot of respect for him, but he's teaching things absolutely contrary to God's word. He also taught, Billy Graham, that you didn't have to be baptized to be saved. But Mark 16:16, Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." So Billy Graham said you really didn't have to believe to be saved. Now, he kind of talked out of both sides of his mouth. If you heard him, I saw him on TV in some of his crusades, and he would say, you got to accept Christ to be saved. But he'd say that. Then later he'd say, but Jews and Muslims can be saved without believing in Christ. But he didn't talk about out of both sides of his mouth on baptism. He said unequivocally, you don't have to be baptized to be saved. If he were saying that you had to believe to be saved, when he said that, he would say all you have to do is believe to be saved. You need to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Yet Jesus said, as I said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. 1 Peter 3:21, Peter said, baptism doth also now save us. Talking about water baptism, obviously, in that context. Acts 22:16, Ananias told Saul, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Saul had believed in Jesus 3 days before that. But 3 days later, he's being told to get baptized, to get his sins washed away. Now, we all agreed it's the blood of Christ that washes away our sins. But when? Were Saul's sins washed away when he believed on the road to Damascus, or at least three days later when he was baptized? Well, Acts 22:16 says he's still in his sins 3 days after he believes, and he needs to get baptized to get his sins washed away, granted by the blood of Christ. And then Acts 2:38, Peter told believers, and this contradicts the fact that the theory that all you have to do is believe in Jesus to be saved, because Peter told believers to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. A believer is not saved at the point of faith. He has to repent. The believer has to repent and be baptized to get the remission or forgiveness of sins. So I would say Billy Graham is a false teacher. Anybody that would teach that you don't have to believe in Jesus to be saved. Anybody that teaches you don't have to be baptized to be saved is a false teacher. Follow up, Jim?
Yeah, you know, I mentioned the Pope. I don't know if you knew this, but the Bible calls the Catholic Church the mother of harlots, and it calls the Pope the man of perdition. So that sort of takes care of him, don't it?
Well, I'm not sure you can prove that. Maybe the Bible calling the Pope that. I'm not sure you can prove that. But let me tell you what the Pope said in Singapore, September 14th, 2024. He said, all religions are paths to read God. They are like different languages in order to arrive at God. But God is God for everyone. Since God is God for all, then we are all children of God. So, according to the Pope, all religions are paths to God. That means he's saying the Jews and the Muslims and the Buddhists can be saved. Any religion is a path to God. So the Pope is a false teacher also. Jerry Falwell was a false teacher. He taught the truth that abortion was murder, but then he said it was okay to get an abortion in the case of rape and incest. You mean it's okay to murder somebody just because they're parents committed rape or incest? So Jerry Falwell, in effect, taught the truth, you might say, but he didn't. He compromised. He's like Billy Graham. Billy Graham knew the truth. He knew you had to believe in Jesus to be saved, but he fell victim to peer pressure, political correctness pressure. Anything else, Jim, before I let you go?
What's that?
Anything else before I let you go? Any follow-up?
Yeah, you probably don't have time to go through the whole list, but I think they're all false teachers, so.
Thanks for your call, Jim.
Okay.
Have a good week. If you have a Bible question or comment, the number to call is 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. Last week, while we were waiting on our first call, we were talking about God's impeccable character. We talked about the fact that God is love. Not that love is our God, but God is the epitome of love. God is loving. And we were in the middle of also talking about God is just. God is not, he's loving, but he's also just. We read Exodus 32, 31 through 33, but let's read to show that God is just tonight. Let's read Ezekiel 18, 20 through 24. Let me start with Ezekiel 18:20. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. Neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. The Catholics and the Calvinists have this doctrine that infants inherit the guilt of the original sin of Adam. That's not fair. That's not just to make a baby guilty of somebody else's sins, but God is just and fair. And we read that, we see that from Ezekiel 18:20, where it says, the son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. In other words, it says, the soul that sinneth it shall die. A baby's not responsible, not held guilty for Adam's sin or his own parent's sin. Nothing in the Bible anywhere close to that. That's simply Catholic and Calvinist doctrine, and it would make God unjust and unfair to hold one person accountable for somebody else's sin. Let me keep reading there in Ezekiel 18:21. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed to keep all my statutes and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? You notice here you have this wicked man, but he's willing to turn from his wickedness and start doing what God says, start doing what God, keeping God's statutes. All of those transgressions that he had been guilty of, that he repented of, that he turned from, will be forgiven him. That shows that God is just and fair. Yes, we'll be lost because of our sins, but if we repent of them, God will forgive us. And the other side of the coin is true also. Ezekiel 18:24 reads this way. But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. So we talked about in verses 21 through 23, if a wicked man is willing to turn from his wickedness, repent, he'll be forgiven. He'll live spiritually. He can be forgiven of his sins. But on the other hand, if a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and starts committing iniquity, he is going to be lost. That old Baptist doctrine of once saved, always saved is absolutely false. Perhaps every page in the Bible directly contradicts this idea of once saved, always saved. It's not taught anywhere in the Bible. It's just wishful thinking. People want to be able to live any old way they want to and still be saved, so they develop this doctrine of once saved, always saved. Not in the Bible. The Bible's totally against that. We see that in Ezekiel 18:24. Here's this righteous man. Now, he's not righteous because he's lived perfectly, so he must have been forgiven, and he's living a righteous lifestyle. He's forgiven, living a righteous lifestyle. That's the only way a person could be righteous. But he turns from that righteousness, starts committing all the abominations that the wicked man doeth. Well, the question is, will he live or die? Well, some will say that's impossible. If you're forgiven, once you're saint, once you say, you couldn't live. This man did. He was in a saved relationship with God, but he turned away from that and started living wickedly. Saved or lost? He's lost, according to this passage. Once saved, always saved is proven false. And that just underscores the fact of what we're talking about. God is very just, and he's very fair. You don't inherit the guilt of Adam. Not at all. You're only responsible for your own sins. And if you're a wicked person, but if you're willing to turn from your wickedness, God will forgive you. If you're a righteous person and you turn from your righteousness and start living wickedly, you're going to be lost. God is totally just and fair. As a matter of fact, we read in Colossians 3:25, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. God doesn't respect persons. He doesn't show partiality toward me or this other person. Whoever does wrong, he's going to be held accountable for his wrong. It's just completely fair. Whoever, the one that does wrong, he's the one that will be held accountable by God at being wrong. So God is loving, God is just, and God is strict. We'll talk about that in a moment, but if you have a Bible question or comment, the lines are wide open. Call us at 877-655-6755. If you have a Bible question or comment, call us 877-655-6755. God is strict. We define that as characterized by or acting in close conformity to requirements or principles. Well, let me read Numbers 15, 32 through 40 here to illustrate that character trait of God. It says, the children of Israel found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And they found him gathering sticks. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and said, and all the congregation, and the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall be surely put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died, as the Lord commanded Moses, that ye may remember, do all my commandments, and be holy unto to your God. I am the Lord your God. In the Old Testament, they couldn't work on the seventh day of the week. We call that Saturday. Couldn't work. They couldn't build a fire, as a matter of fact. He's picking up sticks, working, in order to try to build a fire. He's violating the Sabbath. And the children of Israel asked God what to do. And God says, stone him. God is strict. He's loving. He's just. But he's also strict. You violate his law, you're going to be held accountable for that. He's strict. God is loving. He's just. He's strict. Thankfully, he's also merciful. Merciful meaning acting out of kindness, compassion, or favor. Again, if you have a Bible question or comment, the number to call is 877-655-6755. If you have a Bible question or comment, 877-655-6755. God is merciful. Hebrews 8, verse 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. So God is very merciful. Who does he show mercy to? Well, Proverbs 28:13 helps us with that. It says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Did you know for God to show you mercy, you have to forsake your sins? God doesn't show mercy to people who are not willing to repent of their sins. He only shows mercy to those that forsake their sins. Proverbs 28:13. 1 John 1:9 reads this way. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if we're willing to confess our sins, God will forgive us. The implication is if we're not willing to confess them, God won't forgive us. A Christian sinned in Acts chapter 8, Simon the sorcerer. Peter told him, repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven him. He had to repent of his sins to be forgiven. He had to confess his sins according to 1 John 1:9 to be forgiven. God is going to be merciful to those who are willing to forsake their sins. Repent and confess. Proverbs 28:13, 1 John 1:9, Acts 8:22. Again, the number to call if you have a Bible question or comment is 877-655-6755. Not only is God loving, just, strict, and merciful, he's also patient. Very patient. Patient meaning bearing provocation, annoyance, delay, hardship, pain with fortitude and calm. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see how patient God is? We may sin the same sin over and over and over, but if we're willing to repent, God will forgive us. Now, if we're not willing to repent, God's not going to forgive us. But if we repent, God will forgive us based upon the death of Christ. He's very patient. He keeps, as a matter of fact, the context here is showing that God keeps putting off the second coming of Christ because he knows when Christ comes back, billions of people, their fate will be sealed. Their fate will be sealed. Whatever state they're in with God, it'll be sealed. So God keeps putting off the second coming, hoping that more will repent. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. These are impeccable character traits of God. He's loving, he's just, he's strict, he's merciful, he's patient, and last thing on my list, he's faithful, meaning he always does what he says he is going to do. He keeps all his promises. God is faithful. Deuteronomy 7 verse 9 reads this way. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. God is faithful. He'll keep covenant mercy with those that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. But the implication is he won't keep covenant mercy with them that don't love him and that don't keep his commandments. So many preachers out there saying you don't have to keep God's commandments to be saved. All you got to do is believe. Well, this passage says God won't keep covenant mercy with you unless you keep his commandments. Another passage I think that teaches God is faithful is 1 Corinthians 10:13. Matter of fact, it uses that word. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you, not allow you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. How is God faithful according to this passage? It says he's faithful. How? He won't allow you to be tempted above what you're able to bear. And with any temptation, he'll make a way to escape. We can't blame it, our sin, on anybody else. It's always our fault. God always makes a way to escape. God will never allow us to be tempted above what we're able to bear. So every time we sin, it's always our fault. Never try to make excuse. Just repent of your sins. Again, if you have a Bible question or comment, the number to call is 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. You know, men have many character flaws, but God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have zero character flaws. So, 2 points here. God is most definitely worth serving. If you got a boss at work, you're more likely to want to work hard for a good boss, some who has integrity. But a boss that's selfish and only just trying to have things go his way and not really what's good for the company, you don't really want to serve him hard, diligently. But God, it has no character flaws. He's worth serving. He's also worth emulating because he has no character flaws. How would it be if God had character flaws and we're told to emulate him? Wouldn't be good at all, would it? So God. manipulating. Again, if you have a Bible question or comment, the lines are wide open. The number to call is 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. Now, a while ago, we were talking about one of the points about some preachers saying you don't have to obey God to be saved. You don't have to obey God to be saved? How does that match up with a passage like James 2:24 that says, by works a man is justified and not by faith only? That sounds like you got to do some works to be saved, that it's not just believe only. It says, by works a man is justified and not by faith only. I didn't write that. How about Matthew 7:21? Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. I didn't write that verse either. In that verse, Jesus makes it perfectly clear that the only people going to heaven are those that do the will of the Father in heaven. So let's suppose you're a believer, but you're not living in obedience to God. You're not going to be saved. Belief all by itself is not enough. You have to believe and obey. As the famous song says, you have to trust and obey to be saved. Don't we see that again in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, talking about Jesus? It said he became the author or the source of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Let me read that again. Hebrews 5, 9, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. So only those who obey Christ are going to receive eternal salvation. It doesn't matter how many preachers, no matter say that you're saved by faith only, or that you don't have to obey to be saved, or that you don't have to be baptized to be saved. Doesn't matter how many preachers say that, no matter how many times they say it, this verse says that Jesus is the author or source of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. That will forever mean that if you don't obey Christ, you're not going to receive eternal salvation. Now, that doesn't make us the source. People say, oh, if you have to obey Christ to be saved, then you're saving yourself. No. This says you got to obey Christ to be saved, but that doesn't make you the source. Jesus is the source. He's the author of eternal salvation, Hebrews 5:9. But to who? To those that obey him, meaning those that don't obey him won't receive eternal salvation. Not a chance. Not a chance. You have to obey Christ to be saved. Many passages teach that. Gino from Tennessee, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please. Gino, you there?
Hello?
Yeah. Gino, go ahead.
Yeah, if I can't forgive, I won't be able to get into heaven. And if I don't get baptized, I can't get into heaven.
That's true. And the first point you made is proven by Matthew 6:14-15. Here's what Jesus said. It's right after he discussed what's called the Lord's Prayer. And he's explaining part of it. In Matthew 6:14-15, he says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Doesn't that prove what you said, Gino? That if you're not willing to forgive others, you won't be forgiven yourself? You can't be saved?
Yes, I did say that.
And then the second point you mentioned, you can't go to heaven unless you're baptized. That's right. Jesus said in the Great Commission, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. It doesn't matter how many times people could try to get around that and say, oh no, you don't have to be baptized to be saved. All you got to do is believe, you know, or if you say that, you're thinking you're saved by works. Jesus is the one that said it. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he doesn't lie. So he's right. You got to both believe and be baptized to be saved. Go ahead, Gino.
I understand that also. So getting baptized is not going to make me be a forgiven person. So what I'm asking is, how do I get past this obstacle of forgiveness?
You're going to have to. It won't do any good to get baptized if you're not willing to forgive others. I'm going to have to go off air in 30 seconds, Gino. I got to let you go, but you got to get baptized. You got to believe and get baptized.
Okay.
But you also got to be willing to forgive others. You also got to be willing to forgive others. If you would like to have a free 1-hour phone Bible study with me sometime at your convenience, call or text me at 256-682-9753. Free Bible study with me by phone, 256-682-9753. Call or text me. Thanks for listening this evening.